Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is Beers on Us with Patrick Harris, a podcast that dives deep into the craft beer scene here in the greater metropolitan Portland area. A podcast that is meant to inform, educate, and have friendly discussion about the thing we love most. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast. Please rate, review, subscribe, and all that fun stuff as it helps continue this podcast's success. Thank you for listening. Welcome back into Beers on Us with Patrick Harris. Thank you so much for joining me in our inaugural season two episode, I guess, as we're calling it. I am joined today by Brian Cook, founder, owner, operator of Lombard House, friend of the pod, been on multiple times. Brian, thank you, as always, for being here with me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I have no idea what the hell's going on right now. I don't know how this works. I don't really know what I'm doing here or what we are doing here, but I figured at the very least we can drink some beer and talk about beer.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah, I don't really know how this works. Mike does all the heavy lifting.
All right, well.
And so now it's all me.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't substitute fully for Mike, but you know, we are both East Coast kids, so I'll try.
You try, yeah.
Beautiful Garden State.
Please do. Thank you for downloading this. Please rate, review, subscribe. You can follow us on Instagram at Beers on Us. Everything else I've almost completely taken down. Facebook is still around for the time being. We'll see if that stays around. But please rate, review, subscribe, and all that fun stuff, and keeps the pod rolling along. Brian, first off, I want to say congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you very much.
6 years. Does it really feel like 6 years?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it feels like 2 years. Sometimes it feels like 10. But so, yeah. No, it was a little. Yeah, this year was. It was a trip that was already 6 years, kind of.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. I try to put this into context for everything else that I do as well. But the COVID years, I mean, years. Do we call it 2 years of like 2020, 2021?
I feel like. I have a little, like, I remember kind of in chronological order everything that happened until I turned 45. And then COVID hit, and I'm about to turn 48, and I can't tell if that was 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago or 3 years. You know, a lot of that did blend together. So yeah. I think, yeah, there's like a, I don't know what term we'll come up with eventually to describe how we tell time during that time, but...
It definitely it changed everything for me. I mean, like, what is it? Somebody said the other day that we're closer to 2050 than we were to 1990.
Yeah, we are.
That's terrifying.
Yep.
Because remember, like, maybe it's probably a factor of our age and, like, just where our generation and stuff. I know you're a little older than I am, but we're about the same era. 1990 feels like yesterday.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, Pearl Jam, I got that first album. What, like, what, 10 years old? It's like, no, that album's 30 years old.
It is.
You're like,
yeah, that came out in like 92, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
90 was like MC Hammer pants, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, I remember when you were opening Lombard House, and to me it was kind of like, oh, sweet, I'm so jazzed, this is going to be awesome, I'm really into this, Brian's going to kill it, I can't wait. And that feels like, yeah, like 2-3 years ago. But there's that gap right there from 2020, 2021, that is just like, nobody knows, it's just gone.
And I was there every day, but it was weird. Like, it was like a ghost, you know, just filling mason jars and shit. And, so I was there a lot, So I feel like I've been there a lot, but there was like a time warp where the bar like became something else. Now, I mean, it's back again, but like, yeah, it's not just like telling the calendar time. It's like the pulse of the bar. Like, it was this living, breathing thing, and then it kind of like hibernated. Now it's kind of back again. And I imagine a lot of business owners feel that way. Or even like, in some ways, like breweries probably had it worse because they had to just like keep charging and dropping money on bottling lines,
yeah,
canning lines, and like.
Yeah, I remember. What's funny is the world shuts down in the March of 2020, and I'm working at Breakside at Slabtown. And what's funny is I left in October of 2020. So March, April, May, June, July, August, September, gone in less than 7 months. And those 7 months that I worked there, nothing against Breakside. Like, you know, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know I cherish my time there. But in the COVID sense, those 7 months felt like forever. Like, I look back at it, and it's like, oh, yeah, I did that for like a year and a half. It was wild. It's like, no, dude, you did it for like 6 months. But that's how transformative everything was in that mode. You were just like, every day was a grind.
Yeah, and it's a different kind of grind because we're front of the house people, especially. It's like part of your grind, as much as you love everyone, is like the social aspect of like grinding through sometimes the emotional space you need or it takes out of you to like just get through making everyone happy and leaving happy, and then having to fill that void with just like my own thoughts, which is like never a good idea.
Yeah, all of us know the scariest place we can be is in our own head.
Yeah, that was an interesting time for me.
Well, now that things seem quote unquote back to normal, how are things?
I'd say pretty, I mean, they're good. We just, again, we're really lucky. Like, the neighborhood we have is just full of amazing people. So our regulars are just really, it's nice to have a bar where, like, you're happy to see everyone walking in the door. Because I've worked at bars where, you know, every once in a while, like, a Punisher just comes in. He's going to, like, scare everyone out and then talk at you for 5 hours. we don't have that, you know? And I feel like people are, like, people are definitely back to like feeling very comfortable sitting with other people and chatting with other people and shaking people's hands, and I kind of realized, like, you know, lemons into lemonade, like, I can't be there all the time. You know, it was nice to be home with my family, so I feel like I'm slowly working my way into bringing a few people on, so I'm not going to be there. I'll be there, but I'm not going to be grinding out like 10 and 12 hour bar shifts anymore. And
talking about work-life balance.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hopefully a lot bit, but yeah, we did a good job of it this summer. We took a lot of time off together as a family.
It is one of the coolest things I love about your place is like sometimes you got to check Instagram on the daily because it's like, is Brian going to work today?
I really need to work. I'm not going to lie to you. That was like probably a side, you know, a little side. Like, not benefit, excuse from the pandemic, where I'd be like, you know what? Like, and there's a few times where honestly, like, I'm on a hike with my daughter and I'm not, I can cut it in half or I can open an hour late. And
yeah.
It's a Wednesday and it's a small neighborhood bar. I'm going to do that. But that's certainly something I've had to talk with myself about because it's also a little disrespectful of your regulars who have their date planned and they're like, all right, I'm going to hit that at 2.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, I was hiking, you know, it's not,
definitely said
you know,
myself.
I kind of, but I, when I was like a right out of college and like ski bum and like, there were a lot of businesses that closed if there was more than 6 inches of snow. Like they would just have like, we'll open at noon, but we're not fucking opening right now. You know, so I don't know, but I'm just, yeah, I'd like to work on that a little bit, but I do like, I think my regulars expect it.
Well, that's
maybe good or bad. I'm not quite sure.
Well, that's the benefit of you owning the joint.
I don't know if that is really.
You get to make the rules.
That's always the worst kind of a rule breaker.
All right. Well, let's talk about this beer we're drinking in front of us. You, for your anniversary beer, you had Kings and Daughters make this contemporary Pilsner for you, correct?
Well, I would say, I guess I'd word it. Like, they reached, Kyle was like, I had asked him about doing an anniversary beer.
And you've been big supporters of Kings and Daughters since they first opened, haven't you?
I mean, I've enjoyed, I've really enjoyed their beers. And I, you know, he's close buddies with my buddy Charlie Devereaux, and they kind of both work out of the same space.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the whole story. And I've also really enjoyed the, their concept. I think they do really great, clean, like spot on beers. And I like the idea of like the English pub style where you're not, you know, you're not getting absolutely crunked on two IPAs. And so I'd kind of floated the idea, but kind of like probably wasn't good about following up on it.
Yeah.
And so Kyle reached out to me, and then it was sort of embarrassing because I was flattered and kind of like taken aback that he followed through on it for me. And then I was sitting on the beach in New Jersey the day they brewed it. So little tribute to Mike Lynch there. Yeah. I was in Ocean City, New Jersey, the day they brewed it. But, you know, I'd said let's do like a lager or a pilsner. And it's just a really – I really enjoyed it. And, you know, you kind of sometimes where you like it because it's, you know, it's not really my baby. I'm like a Michael Scott dad to this beer. It's not really my baby, but, yeah. But it's like, just flattering and –
Like the what was it that we had? I think one of those times you've sat in with me, the Ex Novo beer, the Kyle Long beer.
Oh yeah, or Chris Long.
Chris Long, excuse me.
Yeah, we did the Gang Makes a Lager.
Yeah,
it's shout one out of the Green Light podcast.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, is this beer any good? I don't know. It's got my name on it, so I love it.
I mean, yeah, and also like, I've worked in a lot of breweries, and everyone who worked with me at those breweries, I couldn't fire up a system and brew a beer. I've always been like the guy doing the other stuff.
Well, I know.
So, any beer, I mean, but again, they make great beers, and you know, Kyle's wife is an amazingly talented artist and did this fantastic rendition of the bar on the cans. And you know, and then a big thing, it's called royalties, and the reason that it is because a percentage of the sales is going to the Jeremy Wilson Foundation, which is it's a local foundation, and they support musicians and industry workers in Oregon, Clark County, Washington, and they helped them with medical and health-related issues. If they're having a medical crisis, they help them get in touch with medical services, and it's a way to provide like financial aid and grants to musicians. So that's, again, like, they're just amazingly kind people because they gave a big chunk to the foundation, and then we're donating a portion from each pint.
Awesome. So, awesome. How many kegs have you been through already?
This is our third one coming up.
Third keg. All right.
Yeah, third and last, sadly.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've never personally met Kyle, but his reputation is outstanding. His wife's artwork is absolutely stunning.
It got me a little bit, dude. I got a little verklempt to see it. Like, it's pretty cool.
I kind of did for you a little bit. I had heard that you were making that, they were making this beer for you, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to try it, and all this stuff. And then I think I was chatting with Sean at Beer Mongers, and I was like, oh yeah, I got to get up to Lombard House. I want to try that new beer, but I haven't seen it yet. And he goes, oh, I got some right over there.
Yeah, he sent me a picture of it. At, you know. Again, that's pretty cool.
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I got some right over there. And I was like, oh, sweet, let me look at it. And I looked at it and was like, oh, my God, I'm about to cry. The pirate flag, the details.
No, it's pretty, yeah, and I don't know how to say it. Like, I don't know. I think, you know, I look up, he's my good friend, but I look up to him a lot as well as a business owner. And I spent a lot of time there, especially when, like, I didn't work in the beer industry, you know, like when I was mm-hmm. just some dummy. Not, you know, like, I was like, living in a shitty apartment with my dog, nothing going on, showing up hungover to my shifts at Roots, probably not being a good employee. So,
yeah.
Like, it means a lot to see that beer, like, in that place. And then, like, I went, it was in Saravesa, and, like, I spent a lot of time stocking those shelves and, like, mopping those floors. And, like, it meant a lot to see it there. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It was just kind of, It was hysterical. I would have never thought this would happen.
Yeah, I mean, when the great crew over there, Bearlick, decided to make a beer for us too, for our like second anniversary, we were like, Are you kidding me?
It feels weird.
This beer has my name on it.
A bunch of talented people are like, yeah. Hey, how about we make something for you?
Yeah.
We'll like kind of make it seem like you had anything to actually do with making it.
But
and then we're going to write all your stuff on there.
We're going to front all the costs of raw materials.
It's so nice.
We're going to package it for you.
Yeah.
We're going to put your name on it. And you know what you have to do? Nothing.
You come and get drunk with them while they make it. Do some hot scotchies and stuff. It's really like, for me, that is really, I still haven't gotten used to that part about it.
Yeah.
You know, we have the Steeplejack Kinderchuck Lager on
now. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Yingling clone.
Yeah, and it's a Yingling clone that we did with Annie before she left.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, it's named after my friend Jake's father, Oris Kinderchuck, who's the 2-time Stanley Cup champion, who hangs out at our bar when he's in town. You know, like, again, we haven't seen him since before COVID.
Sure.
So can't tell
but I've seen the
two weeks or 2 years ago, but like...
But I've seen the pictures of him, so I know he exists.
That's what I mean. The bar's been like a genesis of a lot of like luck, like just a bunch of like funny stuff. You know, like it was cool to like try to get permission from an old Broad Street bully to name like a Yingling after him. And of course, I was like, of course he's probably gonna say yes, but like
still gotta ask.
Yeah. So again, it's been kind of a nice soft landing coming back from all the COVID shit because it's.
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting fun again.
Well, good. Yeah. And that's kind of where I kind of want to go next with you. I mean, it's hard to really like predict this stuff or even really sometimes comment on it as two people that love beer and work in beer but don't make beer. What, in your opinion, where is beer right now? Are we in a good spot? Are we in a transition spot? Are we in a bad spot?
I
know it's a loaded question, but
I mean,
your
honestly,
thoughts on
I
the community overall.
I think that's something that dudes like you and I are fortunate to have, like, time to... I think beer's always been in a good spot, right? Because it's just a universal equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if anything, it might be in, like, a weird spot right now because, like, everyone's just, like... I almost wonder sometimes if it was cooler when, like, you just walked in, like, had a beer and, like, I'll have whatever those 2 or 3 beers are.
Yeah.
I think it's in a great spot because, I mean, historically, people drink beer in good times and bad times. Obviously, just like if you look at like, you know, Kings and Daughters, if you look at Via, there's all these like, there's constantly new brands coming up and they're not like these fly by night things. These are like world class breweries that are just like, oh, like this another like amazing flower on this vine that is like Portland beer scene. Like,
right. I mean, I keep thinking about. Whitney and Doug's project at Grand Fur.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
And it's like, that might be maybe the most hyped brewery I've thought about in a long time.
Yeah, right? Like,
you know,
pressure,
like,
guys.
like you've got a world-class chef and a world-class brewer.
That. I was like, yeah. God. But no, that's, I'm really excited for them. And again, I think a little, it seems maybe counterintuitive, but I think if you're looking at work-life balance, I would guess that, like, instead of, like, holding down 2 giant behemoths in separate spots while also being parents and, like, partners, it makes a lot of sense for them to combine all their talents. And, like, you know, I doubt they'll be, like, suffering for people to want to come work and learn from them, you know? So, no, it's, I'm happy for them. And I also was able to keep an actual secret.
Oh, you knew about this for a while.
Not
huh?
like a long time, but like enough time that I was like, I felt like Kevin from the Office. I've been binging The Office.
That's okay. That's
like,
okay. The wife and I, we're
all about
it.
I don't
know
if I can hold this secret, but I did. And it was cool because I sat there listening to like some well-intended kid just pontificate about like how some tech people are going to come in and buy it. And I was like, whatever. He was justified to be worried, I guess, but
I'm kind of with you. Beer is this ever evolving thing. I do miss the days. Yesterday I bought a fresh hop beer, which I do want to talk some fresh hop with you. I bought a fresh hop beer, and for the sake of, you know, professionalism, I'm not going to say who made the beer, but I got it and I was excited and I was like, ooh, I can't wait to try this. And I opened it up, and it had a lot of flaws in it, like brewing flaws. There was a lot of diacetyl and just weird hop combination, things that just weren't really working. And I tasted it, and I was like, oh, no, I really don't care for this. But I sat there, and I was like, I'm going to drink this beer because I would like a beer right now, and I'm just going to enjoy it. And I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I miss that.
I
miss being able to just sit there and be like, this beer tastes like beer.
That's my thing when, like, and again, we don't really, like, if a beer, say it does have diacetyl, there's definitely, like, there's no way that brewer, like, meant
intentionally
that to happen, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure they'd, like, give anything to have another couple days, you mm-hmm. know, for it just let those sugars get eaten. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, no one's, like, and that's, I would say maybe that's, again, one of my concerns when you say the state of beer, because I think, especially a lot of the most, like, harsh critics, and I'm sure I don't want to hear the things I said when I was 25.
Sure.
And thank God, like, I don't have to, the way these kids do, but, like, some pretty harsh critics that I think, like, again, they might be, like, the best dude in their homebrew club, but this doesn't mean they're not, like, serving some diacetyl bullshit too, right? But they're, like, the first ones to be, like, oh, my God, you know? And I just think, not to take anything away from the people who do it right and do it consistently, but mm-hmm. I just have a lot of empathy for, like, I mean, think of it. So that fresh hop beer that you didn't like, and maybe it did have diacetyl, it sucks because, like, think of all the work that went into that.
Right.
Right.
The packaging,
the driving
the brewing,
down,
the cellaring.
The people who bust their ass, by the way. Like, I went
the
to
raw
the
materials.
Crosby and watching all those people just, like, some of the hardest workers you're ever going to see.
The distribution. The truck driver that walks that case into that bar.
Yeah, that's when you're kind of like, I know what you mean, where you're like, I miss, just shut the fuck up and drink your beer, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I didn't like my fresh hot beer. Like, it is kind of like, yeah. And I think that's kind of incumbent on us as, like, even as, like, a bartender sometime. Like, I always liked, when I was working at Upright, they had a little thing on the, when there was a cash register downstairs, and it said, it's not a mortgage, it's a beer. You know, because they had, like, people just study that thing. Like, it was like, you know, I don't know, like, you're going to be okay if you don't like it. It's $4.
Yeah, right.
You know, you'll get
through
it.
Those old Commons days. Beer was pretty cheap and at Commons, too, for a pint.
I mean, it still is. I mean, if you look around, like, it's still pretty damn cheap there. Quietly, like, one of the best breweries in the country. And, like, I don't know. It's. But I do remember, like, sometimes people would just be, like, so in. You're like, just... drink beer.
What are they worried about? Are they ordering something they don't understand?
I think they want to really enjoy it, and they don't want to see it. The other thing is, like, I forget, like, since I know about it, that, like, they're panicking because they're like, oh, shit. Like, what's yuzu? And, like, what's, you know, and they're reading all this shit, and they're like, a football. Like, I want a foot, you know, like, and I think, again, that's missing sometimes with, like, we innately think everyone knows this because we didn't, but now we kind of do.
Yeah.
Right. But it'd be terrifying. When I was 21, there was like Sierra Nevada.
Whoa.
I think like Pete's Wicked Summer Ale. Like some weird, you know, like you only had a few options.
Bridgeport IPA.
I can't imagine going in
Hop
and
Czar.
Trying to just figure it all out. And
oh, yeah.
And then also, and maybe not in the beer industry, but in general, this town's not known for like the most like, well, let me teach you something.
Yeah, right.
Servers.
It's like, oh, you don't know, idiot.
I'm going to go be mean to you now.
Yeah.
You know?
And then I'm
always
going
seems so stupid.
I'm going to talk trash to you or about you to my coworkers mm-hmm. within earshot of you.
I've had, I remember getting my first paycheck in like the industry here and being like, wait, we get actual money. Like, because in most states, you just make your tips.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, those pretty people are just jackasses. Like, they could make like way more money a year if they were like half as nice. They wouldn't have to still like me, but they like, I wouldn't have to leave being like, I'm going to come back and make that person. Like, it's traumatic. Some of those, like, early.
Yeah.
The angry Portland bartender.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably changed a little bit.
I was having this conversation with Dave Flores and Todd Burdett yesterday or 2 days ago. We were talking about.
Two of the nicest dudes on the planet. Too.
We were talking about surly bartenders and. The concept that the surly bartender in this town might be dead.
I think it's gone. I think a lot. Also, I think people are not.
Crowds are getting younger.
Yeah.
Younger crowd is not interested in surly bartender.
Again, screamed. If you go to like, you know, I remember going to a cocktail bar. It was 2006. But I didn't know much about cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
I asked a couple questions. And this beautiful fucking dude who already, I mean, my bald ass is sitting there, and he's got like beautiful hair, and he's handsome, and he's just like, you don't know? And I'm like, no, dickhead.
No,
that's why I'm asking you what then. I literally asked, what does that mean? And I remember being fuck. Like, I just spent $20 for this guy to bully me. Like, I feel like I'm in fifth grade at lunch. Now I'm like drunk. It's worse. Like, you know? And I would agree that I think that is going away, because I think like people are always mad at the younger, like new.
Yeah.
I love like the younger beer consumers. They're rad.
Well, yeah, that was like, part of something we were talking about too. I mean, with the innovation of, you know, hard seltzers that breweries are making, the innovation of smoothie sours, hazy IPAs.
Pull your roll there.
but what I'm saying is like the community is actively trying to grab that younger crowd.
I know. And I'm still.
No, I'm with you. I don't want any of that stuff either. You know, I'm not a pastry boy. Like, I can't get into the smoothies. And I dabble in seltzers. The wife and I dabble in seltzers, but I don't dabble in it in replacement of beer.
I got called. I think I told you this, but I follow some of those like now drinking beer blog. You know, I'm like sitting there perusing it, like all like hippie speedballed up, just like super baked and caffeinated. And this kid posted this picture of like this. It looked like you just cleaned like a Slurpee machine. And as a Star Wars fan, you're gonna appreciate like. It was like Star Wars seemed enough that I was like hoping they were going to get sued. And then there was like this shitty cartoon drawing of what was supposed to be Yoda. And the beer was obviously green. And I was just like, I'm sorry. No,
we're drawing
that's
the line
not
here.
Beer. And that's not Yoda. Like, I was just like, and this kid was like, I say, I think he's in his early 30s, but he was like, what do you mean that's not beer? And I was like, well, I couldn't legally sell this in Germany as beer. It's like all the adjuncts in it. And then I was like, and then, but he wrote, like, all these other kids wrote, and he wrote, like, ignore the beer boomer, everyone. And I started rolling laughing because I was like, he's fucking right.
Yeah.
Like, all these dudes are on here having fun. And they're like, look at, they don't give a shit that I don't like it.
No.
They're having a great time. And I'm like, what are you doing having fun? That's not my kind of fun. And I don't want to serve that in my lines, and I don't appreciate it, but.
Sure.
And I wrote to him, I was like, dude, that was funny as hell. And he didn't get. And he was like, leave me alone. And I'm like, no, I'm saying that was fucking hysterical.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You're right. Fuck me. You guys are having a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm shitting on it. And I don't have to appreciate it or even like it. I should at least be able to like the fact that you guys are like, you're supposed to be about community, right?
Yeah.
They're building a community.
And you're like, just roasting me.
Dude, I went to fish shows when I was his age. I'm like, sorry to all my fish friends. Like, I'm aware that that sounds like absolute garbage to half the world. Right, but I had a great time doing it.
Oh yeah. I'm going to Tab on Sunday at Edgefield.
I don't even know what that is.
Trey Anastasio band.
Oh god.
Yeah, I'm going to Trey.
It's gonna be like 17 people on band.
I'm gonna take my wife, and she's gonna hate it.
A bunch of Wookiees running around. The Oregon Wookiees are funny.
I don't even understand.
Gangster hippie dudes.
I don't even understand.
I have no time for them.
I don't understand the fish world. It's not my.
It's kind of like it. Yeah, I don't want to say too much because I love a lot of people who still love it, but. Some fucking lot kid who's calling himself Spider. You're like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Just go away, like, please.
Just enjoy the music.
Just go away.
Yeah.
Go away. You want to stick around for Beer of the Week? I got a fresh hop. You got time?
Is it the one that sucks?
No, it's not.
Just kidding. Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Brian Cook, owner, operator, brewer, bartender, whatever.
Idiot.
Boomer.
Boomer.
Beer boomer. Of Lombard House joining me this week on Beers on Us. When we come back, Beer of the Week. This is Beers on Us with Patrick Harris.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Beer of the Week time on Beers on Us with Patrick Harris. I just don't have it in me to do it the way Mike does it.
I think you were just nailing it and you just got stage fright.
And just
performer. I've seen you sing
and just cut it off.
Yeah.
Well, he asked.
Here's the thing too. You're not going to do it like Mike because Mike has that commanding. I mean, you both have the best radio voices around, I guess. So maybe that's I'm wrong, but you're just going to have to run with it. I mean, and also a little, are we allowed to give Mike a little toast to Mike on his,
without a doubt.
On his new gig.
Without a doubt.
I don't know if I'll mention what it is, but it's a dream one.
Cheers to Mike. It's one of those things, like we talk about it here around the radio station. I am so unbelievably happy for Mike that it just pisses me off. Because he has wrecked my world. He has absolutely wrecked my world, and I couldn't be happier for him.
He broke up the Beatles.
Yeah. He broke up the Beatles, but Wings has become my favorite band.
All right. Well, let's see. There you go. And now...
It's kind of like
the band
that.
On the run, and you just kind of figure it out.
Yeah. So kudos to Mike. Well, we'll miss you. And maybe one of these days, maybe I can sneak him on the podcast as like a special guest.
Yeah.
You know,
rename him a little bit.
Yeah. This is like Minch.
Yeah.
Like old Minch.
Joey from Jersey.
Hey, Joey. Beer of the week this week. It's funny. I've been trying to think about what should I have for beer of the week? What should I have for beer of the week? And then I was driving down here and realized that I forgot to grab anything that was for beer of the week. So it was like, ooh, what's in the fridge? What's in the fridge? Oh, Fresh Hop Wanderlust from Breakside.
Oh, yeah.
This will work.
That it will.
I'm curious because I've been talking with Ryan at Cerveza and I've been talking with Dave at Bridgetown, just like them as beer buyers, like where their head is. Just out of curiosity how they approach it, because as you know, longtime beer people as we are, especially you are, I'm curious if there ever becomes fresh hop fatigue. Like I talked with Ryan, I talked with Sean at Beer Mongers about this as well. And I was like, Sean, what's your approach? Are you just gangbusters? I'll take it all. I want it all, blah, blah, blah. Or are you selective or are you shying away from it? And Sean was like, I'll take everything I can get. And Dave's like, I am being super picky and choosy. And it's all based on your clientele. Mm-hmm. Like Dave kind of realized, he's like, I'll have one fresh hop on, but I don't need to blow up the board with fresh hop because my clientele doesn't want that. To where Ryan at Cerveza is like, my clientele is coming here looking for fresh hop. I'm curious where Lombard House sits in this discussion.
Well, I feel like this year, I don't know if it's just people are ready to celebrate again, because I feel like fresh hop season is, you know, it's the celebration of the harvest, right? That makes all these beers possible eventually.
I mean, it's
throughout the whole year.
It might be the most celebrated time of the year for our
industry. I love the concept. And I, you know, moving from the East Coast in 2005, I had never heard of fresh hop beers, honestly.
Yeah.
And I started working at Roots, and people were talking about fresh hops, and I didn't quite get what it was. And then I think in the time that's passed, they've gone from like very vegetal, kind of like
grassy,
clipping to like they're like really bad, great.
Bad weed,
yeah,
you,
so I
bad
think
weed
I,
you grew in your backyard.
Yeah, 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 that you didn't cure well, and yeah. We're gonna smoke it anyway. And then I feel like I like the evolution of all the fresh hops that have come along. And I think last year, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if it was that my customers didn't care. I think I was like an emotional wreck because we were just still barely hanging on. Mm-hmm. And I think like this time last year was when all like just the financial and emotional toll of COVID sort of hit.
Sure.
And I don't think I was kind of a blur. I think I had like 2 fresh hop beers. I don't think I like remembered to get up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this year, I think I think maybe people are doing a lot more fresh hop beers because I think. I don't know if this is true or not because I have a very small sample size, but I think breweries produce more because they realized consumers were back out of bars more, buying more. They weren't just selling their
draft is through the roof
only.
Now. Yeah.
So yeah, this year, and it's been kind of fun, honestly. Like, I got to go do one with Dan Munch from Widmer. He's their innovation brewer, and you know, Widmer is certainly like a brewery that built this entire scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Dan's just brilliant and super great guy. And we went down and we got to go to Crosby and watch the Strata hops getting picked.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Just picked them up and drive them back up and put them in these like basically giant like cheesecloth steeping bags.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, it was a fun day. So watching like, I'm kind of all in on it this year. I don't know. We're flying through them.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a fresh hop Pilsner, a fresh hop Saison, a couple of fresh hop IPAs, a fresh hop Pale. They're all.
And your clientele is in that boat of, I want this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we're having a very beautiful, like, beginning of, like, end of summer, beginning of fall. I think, I also think the fresh hop season seems a little later this year or a little. And I think it's kind of helped because people are like, kids are back in school. I want fresh hops and I want Oktoberfest, you know.
That's the other thing. I mean, this time of year, I love this time of year. I get a little fresh hop fatigue, but I think as a lover of beer and as a participant in our industry, I try to still drink as much fresh hop beer as I can, just because I think it's our duty, it's our celebration, et cetera, et cetera. But I secretly love this season because I'm all about fest beer. Like,
yeah,
I'm all about
beer.
It. And I think this, what I've loved about fresh hop season this year is it feels like this is the year of fest beer. It just is kind of secret because fresh hops always take forefront, you know, but you can walk into any bottle shop and find 5 different fest beers on the shelf from respected breweries.
Yeah.
And that is the most exciting thing in the world for me because
yeah,
I love that
time.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, again, I just, as like, just the minutia of the whole concept of it is really cool to me, you know, and it's a really, I don't know, I dork out on that kind of stuff, but it's just cool to go see and watch the process happening and just really appreciate like how much work goes into that pint that you're pouring. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I've always, you know, making sure that beer gets into the hands of the person drinking it.
Yeah, especially.
Kind of a fun job to have.
Especially when it comes to fresh hop. I mean, most breweries are just making sure they break even, you know.
I can't
imagine.
These
aren't very profitable beers.
Again, I run a little tiny rowboat of a bar. I can't imagine the overhead that's involved with these. Like, even though, I mean, you've watched a place like Breakside grow steadily. Like, think how many people they employ.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like, think of what that does for your community. Like, what that does for our community. Think about how many of these breweries are like, yeah, it's going to be terrifying to buy out these hop contracts and to just trust that, like, this beer is going to sell. You know, there's so much competition now. Like, my hat off, my hat's off to other brewers because it's a lot.
Yeah. Brian Cook, owner, operator of Lombard House, joining us here on Beers on Us. Brian, we'll get you out of here on this. I always like to ask this question, and nobody ever has a great answer, and I think that's why I love asking this question. What's next?
Like, you mean what's next, like, in beer trends? Or
sure, anything. What's next in beer?
Jesus.
I know. Nobody ever has a great answer because we don't know. But I love asking it because people take shots, like shot in the dark, you know?
I think the trend, though, of, like, breweries branching out and just rather than competing for one tap handle in a bar with, say, 10 to 20 tap handles, the idea of just expanding and having, like, little neighborhood pubs with a little kitchen that serves all your beers, maybe have a few guests. I would guess that is going to be something we see more in the future, because
like the Ex Novo, Stickman, Von Ebert.
Yeah. Upright's got Brightside, one coming out.
Upright's new one coming out.
Yeah, and I think that's the smart move, and I think that way you're trusting in yourself. So maybe that's next. I don't know. A little shout out to the city permitting department. You guys can maybe get moving a little, because I know there's a lot of breweries that just struggled for 2 years.
Yeah.
And the city that works, it would be cool. Honestly, Mr. Ted Wheeler. There's a lot of issues I have with you, but most importantly is, like,
get them permits that
office
rolling.
That gets these small businesses rolling. You guys seem to have a lot of time for a lot of big pocketed fellows and not so much for the small ones. So shout out to old Teddy boy. Why don't you get back to work a little bit and get these bars open on behalf of all my friends. But blame me if you get mad.
Dave Flores calls himself a dinosaur, like, not as a person, but his bar.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, as you mentioned, as these breweries, you know, start to open up these little shops, and you're a fan of it, and I'm a fan of it as well, does that threaten guys like you?
If it does, it's a good thing.
You think it's a good thing?
I mean, if I'm not like a traditional capitalist, but like, if what I built isn't working because other people want something else, then I have to figure that out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, like, is it a good thing? I think it's good for you as a business owner. And I personally don't. I tend to think the more the merrier. I mean, maybe if something opened right next door to me, possibly. But I tend to think, you know, do you belly up at the same bar all the time?
No.
I think most consumers, they have their favorites.
Mm-hmm. I've got my rotation.
I love when I run into regulars at other bars where I'm sitting at the bar and they're like, I'm sorry, I'm here. And I'm like, I'm here too. And my bar's open right now. Yeah. I could go there. You know, so I don't think it does. But it also, like, and I kind of, I think I'm going to, like, Dave's a good friend of mine. I think I know what he means by dinosaur. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a pejorative even. I think it's just, we're an older model. It'll work. And I think a lot of the younger consumers are actually like, oh, there's not, like, and no disrespect to places that, like, have these, but, like, oh, there's not, like, an airport arrival screen with my beers on it.
Right, right.
There's not, like, I think a good local dive beer bar.
Something with character.
Is good.
You know, Bridgetown,
you know?
Cerveza, your spot has character.
I spent a lot of time in afternoons in Bridgetown contemplating my own bar and, like, yeah. Wanting that vibe of, like, everyone walks in and knows your name. I mean, I think it's one of the best bars, one of the best beer bars I've ever been in, and I think one of the best afternoon hangs you could find in Oregon.
Yeah, it's I'm gonna have Sean, owner of Beer Mongers, on at some point, and that's the biggest question I want to ask him, you know, is how do you transfer that magic, you know, that little beer monger spot.
Yeah, but that beer monger, it's all him.
I know.
I mean, I'm a homer. I love that dude.
Yeah.
But, like,
Is it as simple as that? I mean, he might not say that because, you know, he's going to be humble,
that.
But is that all it takes?
I tend to think, and it's a scary one to pontificate on because, well, yes, it will never be, like, beer mongers will be beer mongers for a lot of reasons. And no, I think, I would guess everyone, you're not going to make it exactly the same, but I think the force of his, like, personal character is, like, what drives that place, mm-hmm. and then that rubs off in, like, the perfect like diversity of people he has working there. Like they all kind of complement each other in different ways. And I think the community that place is more than like the building it's in. And I think if anything, it might be, I think I'm hoping he'll be shocked how quickly it does feel like home in a new spot, because I think that place is way more about the people than it is about the building. And I say that knowing that, like, I'm also not him. I haven't been in there sweating
sure
everything. I know that there's no way to, like, minimize whatever feelings there are around leaving the physical space.
Sure.
You know, I've had some of my best times and some of my lowest times there. So, I mean, it'll be sad, but I tend to think with everything he's been through, I'm glad he gets a new place. It's his.
Yeah.
There's no worry about what the future lies as far as the building. It just,
sure,
they get to be a family again.
You get to exist. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Brian, thank you so much for coming in and helping this little engine that could try to find its new way.
You got it, buddy.
Once again, it's Brian Cook, owner-operator of Lombard House. Check out the spot if you haven't. You know, Brian, this is, what, the third time you've been on the pod, I think?
It is, yeah.
I think with us. I should have grabbed, I have a really nice bottle of Canty on at home that we should drink at some point.
We have to eat, like, some fancy cheese or something like that, yeah.
Or let's just get really drunk and open it up irresponsibly.
Yeah, the 2 a.m. open up, that you don't, that's always a nightmare.
I'll tell you this story real quick and we'll get out of here. One time I'm on a camping rafting trip with my parents in Idaho. And I'm probably 12, 13 years old. And my parents are there with probably 10 other of their friends who are all about their same age. There's a couple other kids there, but not much. Pretty boring as a little kid. Mm-hmm. But I loved being in the outdoors, so it was, like, fun and cool for me. And I remember they threw one rage party one night. And we woke up the next morning, and they're all cleaning up, and there's wine bottles everywhere. And people are picking up these wine bottles going, oh, my God. This is probably 1997. They're picking up these wine bottles going, oh, my God, this is a $200 bottle of wine.
So they brought rafting?
And I have no recollection of drinking this.
They brought it rafting?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all high-end
wine
drinkers.
They got what they deserved.
But
dude,
what it is they bought, you know, they brought, like, lower-end stuff and high-end stuff. So you drink the high-end stuff at nice times, dude, but they all got so drunk.
I feel like there was some cocaine involved in your parents' story that they left out, right? Like, I don't remember drinking the $200 bottle. Like, come on.
People just sobbing.
That's funny.
Overall, there's thousands of dollars in empty wine bottles.
I don't feel bad for them, but it's a funny story because it's like you brought it rafting.
Yeah, yeah.
That means you had that shit to break.
Yeah, right? So I think we should get drunk and drink this bottle.
I think we definitely should. I also think we should drink wine with your parents. They sound like they're fun people to drink wine with.
All right, that's going to do it. This is Beers on Us with Patrick Harris. Thank you so much for tuning in. The plan is to be back next week. If I'm not back next week, we'll have Charlie Devereaux, friend of Brian Cook here. I've been trying to get Charlie on this podcast for about a year or so.
He's a lovely man.
And Charlie is an awesome man, and I'm just in love with his pedigree and his story. And so we'll have Charlie on in a couple weeks. He's got a couple new Via beers coming out that we want to talk about. So stick around for that. Rate, subscribe, review, and if you haven't been to Lombard House, there's no time like the present. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you next week. That'll do it for us. Beers on Us with Patrick Harris.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, We often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.